Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you'll find this encouraging. Thank you and God bless. I have some thoughts that the Lord gave to me, and it was interesting because the passage that Cam read had to do with our future and just imagining what our future would hold and having some confidence that God is with us. It's a journey. We should be conscious of His presence in our life and the time to experience intimacy with the Godhead of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as we were being invited into that, I realized that we're in different places in understanding who God is. And some of us, we have a deep affection for God the Father. And others of us, we haven't discovered that attribute of who the Godhead is. And we might understand God more in the concept of Jesus as a friend and a brother. And some of us, we've gone through a journey where God as the Holy Spirit, as the Spirit of truth, as the Spirit that connects with us in that deep place, that's the God that you relate to. I just want you to know that the Godhead of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is, they're not vying for airspace, you know? They're okay with that. You connect with God the way that you connect with God in your journey right now. And I will pray that every single one of us have a continued exploration of who God is. God is so big that it will take us not only this lifetime, but eternity to explore wave after wave who God is. If you can define your God, then you worship a small God. But if God exceeds your capacity, if there are things that go beyond your comprehension about God, then welcome home. Because the God who loves you and the God who has invited you to relate to is much bigger than what we can even think or imagine, and the thoughts that He has for us outnumber the grains of sand that are on every single beach on this planet, and that's a whole lot. And so God thinks a lot about you. He's kind of crazy about you, actually. And so when you think about your future, let me ask you this. What do you think about? I mean, this is kind of an interesting conversation to be having with people because it depends on what your history has been that kind of orients you towards like this trajectory of your future sometimes. And then sometimes it depends on who you're listening to as to how you would answer that question. What is my future going to be like? And so it's a good conversation to have. I would say that it's probably a mixed bag. When I talk to people, there are about half the people I talk to, they imagine that there's certain calamity that's going to come. And they have it in their hearts that they need to be prepared for hardship and suffering and brokenness and desperation. And then there are some that would actually prophesy spiritual renewal. So there's this other end of the spectrum where there's a move of God coming and there are miracles and there's awakening and there's this overcoming that is going to be explored and experienced by all of us. And in those two things, those two extremes, I would say to both of those, yes, I agree. And it's they're not diametrically opposed. That there is a move of God that's coming, and there's also this suffering that happens in our humanity and in the broken place of this world, and we experience that, and we connect with that, and that might actually get worse, because some of us, I mean, if you really, really thought about it, we're living pretty large. We don't really have it that bad, most of us. But when you explore just some of the devastation that's happening around the globe, you could imagine that could visit our doorstep at some point. And so what do we do with all of that? You know, when we are asking these kinds of questions, I mean, I personally went to God with this. I went to God about this and I asked Him. I was like, so how can we as a people prepare for what lies ahead, whatever it is? How can we posture ourselves to live victorious, positive lives, regardless of what comes down? I mean, this was the big question, because I have friends that are really leaning in and asking, so Should I store up? Should I lock and load? What should I do here? Because certain calamity's coming. And then I've got people that are like, you know, God's on the move and there's all this miraculous stuff that's coming to Woodland Park and to our church and all of these things. And I'm like, yes, okay, how do we respond to that, you know? And I would say that the Lord has been faithful to answer me. And I'll give you this. He says, listen to Jesus. Because the messages that Jesus shared when he walked the planet are relevant today. And they will be as relevant today as they ever were and they ever will be. His words and his teachings are going to see us through everything. Every single thing. And so, the Sermon on the Mount still holds true today and throughout all the ages. And so I want to actually consider what it would look like for us then to focus in, not on the latest, I don't know, prophetic word here and the latest prophetic word here. We can definitely listen and assimilate and ask God, speak to me about that. What does that mean for me personally? How do I personally respond to this? All the while studying the message of Jesus. If we don't study the message of Jesus, we will miss it, I'm afraid. And so, we see in Matthew 4 that Jesus traveled through Galilee and he was teaching in the synagogues and preaching everywhere the good news about the kingdom. And he healed all the people of all sorts of sicknesses and diseases. And news about him spread far beyond the borders of Galilee so that the sick were soon coming to be healed from as far away as Syria. And whatever their illness or their pain, and if they were even possessed by demons, if they were epileptic or paralyzed, he healed them all. This is Matthew 4. Large crowds followed him wherever he went. People from Galilee and the 10 towns and Jerusalem and from all over Judea, from the east of the Jordan River. And then one day, and this is where I want to land, this is Matthew 5. If you're following along in Scripture, go ahead and go to Matthew 5. One day, as the crowds were gathering, Jesus went up on a mountainside with his disciples and he sat down to teach them. It does us well to listen to this sermon today. I won't read the whole thing. What I will do is I'll lock in on verse 6. Because this is Jesus encouraging us, you can have a blessed life. You can experience joy in the midst of calamity. You can experience comfort when things are uncomfortable. You can experience peace when there's turmoil all around you. You can have a blessed life. And here are the ways that you can experience the blessed life. And he says this in Matthew 5, 6. He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. I've been thinking about this a lot, the intake of food and drink. Yesterday, like I said, my girls filled the basement with food and they packed for this 7-week journey that they're on and they were sorting it out and they were wondering, is this too much? Is this not enough? And it was really special to watch that happen. Just like the other night when we all sat down for a meal around the table and we went to pray and then it just fell silent in the room. Because there was such a deep gratitude of what was happening in that moment when we gathered around the table to eat food together, that the prayer was really very simple. Thank you. And so I find it very special how we were created to have a regular rhythm of intake. I mean, you think about this multiple times a day. We have this regular rhythm of intake. Now, some of you are foodies, and you love this conversation because it validates your love for food. And it's great because food can be a celebration. I mean, it touches all the senses, right? And we take it in, and it can be a very special time for us. And from day one, God established this rhythm with first man and first woman, Adam and Eve. And he says, you can eat of every tree in this garden, save this one. Don't eat from that tree, which was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so when the deceiver came to them with a temptation, it was surrounded by this notion that they would gain knowledge and actually become like God if they ate from that tree. And so as an aside, that is the lie, right? I mean, that's the lie that Lucifer, this very beautiful and very powerful angel, voiced, I will be like God. That's the same lie that he tempted Adam and Eve with. You will be like God. And as we move on down through the story of humanity, that remains the lie. You will be like God. And so that same lie, and it's the temptation, it's the lie. And you can see, however, the beauty of God creating us to intake food, and it can be distorted because of all the beautiful connections that we have with food, but yet it can be distorted because the temptation is to believe that lie that we can be like God, that we are in fact God. And so we'll get to that here in just a minute, but let me just say this. The reason why God created us to intake is because each time that we intake, we remind ourselves that in order to be sustained as a person, we have to receive something outside of ourselves. If pride were to tell you that you have no need outside of yourself, that you, in fact, will be like God, then humanity is going to suffer from hunger and thirst. If humility tells us that we are desperately in need of the gift that God brings to us to bring wholeness to our lives, those gifts, whether it's in actual food, an actual drink, or as we'll look here in just a second, beyond that, then we can settle into this posture of receiving from God, and it's a humble receiving where we realize that God is our provider. He's taking care of us. So in light of all of that, the rhythm of eating and drinking can be an act of worship. You know, it can be because we're reminded of our need and we're reminded of God's many ways that he provides for us. It's beautiful. You know, I think anything other than that would be considered gluttony and drunkenness and all of that. And that's what Jesus was actually accused of oftentimes, because he chose to eat and drink with people that the religious leaders of his day would consider sinners, right? And so here Jesus was eating and drinking with people who were desperately in need. And I think that's the beauty of why we have food together, is because here we are, and at a base level, we're all acknowledging that we need something beyond ourselves. It's a humble place, and yet we're sharing that together with family and friends. And don't you find that around the table are some of the deepest conversations you can have about life, about God, about things that you need outside of yourself? There's a lot of transparency there. I think that's because we're connecting with that humble place. All right, well, all of this is actually just an introduction, because what I really want to talk about, more to the point, is if we were going to look at this passage that says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied, then we are blessed when we hunger and thirst for the right thing. Now, how many of you know that Americans are chronically dehydrated? And yet we have misinterpreted our craving. And so when we're thirsty, what do we usually go for? Food. And sugar. All of which makes us more thirsty. And the cycle continues. And so I think that, you know, if we misread our body's signals and we interpret thirst for hunger, then we eat when we're thirsty and all of that sort of stuff. I have a few thoughts here about hunger and thirst. I believe that they're distinctly different from one another, but they're very close neighbors. I mean, these girls are going on a 40-something day adventure, 44-day adventure. Technically, you probably don't need food. In survival, they teach you about the rule of threes. In a very harsh environment, like if you were in a snowstorm or a rainstorm and it was cold and there was the risk of hypothermia, you probably have about 3 hours to live unless you find shelter. You probably have about 3 days to live until you find water. But you have about 3 weeks or more even to live if you don't have food, right? So this thing about the difference between thirsting and hungering, I want to just poke at that a minute. I have some thoughts here that, I don't know, it just kind of came to me, and I was thinking that, you know, when you think about thirst, for me, I'll just put it out there, it's about thirsting for connection with God. When I think about thirst, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for the right thing. If I were to imagine this in the spiritual context, that what I am thirsting for is intimacy with God. That's why I found it really important for us, Nicolette, when you invited us to come into that place and connect and receive, you encouraged us not to pray. You encouraged us not to go to one another and share words or come up front and use the mic and share, because I actually think that that falls more in line with what we hunger for. I think we thirst after intimacy with God and we hunger for purpose. We hunger to be fruitful. We hunger to have impact. I mean, we hunger for these sorts of things. So I think in terms of thirst being like this hunger that we or this thirst that we have for the nearness of God, for the eyes of our heart to experience Jesus, for our spiritual ears to be open to the words of intimacy from God, that's what we're thirsting for. And often we mistake that thirst for hunger. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. I think that someone being hungry, I think it's something completely different. Like I mentioned, I think about passion and I think about pursuit. You know, you get hungry for something. You want to accomplish something. And it's fine. I think there's nothing wrong with any of that. I think it's perfectly okay because God created us for that. In fact, he told us that you would receive power. You would experience the empowerment of his Holy Spirit so that you could have fruit in your life and you can have impact and you can do great exploits if you want. I mean, awesome. Hunger for that. And yet don't confuse your thirst for hunger. Because so many of us, we venture out into these great exploits, hoping that they will satisfy the deepest craving of our soul, which is intimacy with God. And we find that we're either exploiting other people or people are exploiting us for our gifts and our graces and all those sorts of things. And then all of a sudden we realize that we are as dry and thirsty as we have ever been in our entire life, even though we are so passionately involved in so much stuff. You guys get it. I think what it might boil down to is how you interpret the word righteousness. If you interpret the word righteousness as behavior, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for right living, then you might struggle here a little bit. Because yes, absolutely, we definitely endeavor to live right lives. But you need to know that that's the byproduct of the deeper thing. We don't want to reduce our Christian experience to a self-help program where we're constantly trying to be a better version of who we think we are. Remember, the lie is packaged in all sorts of shapes and sizes, including religious packages that look very right on the outside. But Jesus himself, you know, he rebuked the religious for having this appearance of righteousness, but inwardly they were what? They were dead. The righteous behavior we're called to live is actually a gift. Remember, this rhythm of eating is a constant reminder that what will sustain our life comes from outside of us, and we receive it inward. So much like food and water, that comes from outside of us. And the prayer of Paul in Philippians 1, it rings out this morning. I'm going to go ahead and read this. This is a prayer that Paul is praying not only to the people who are in the church in Philippi, but I believe because it was in the scripture, it's a spiritual prayer that is still on the heart of Jesus for us. I pray that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve or recognize what is genuine, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit. Oh, I love the language here, right? We all like fruit. Having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ. To the glory and the praise of God. The righteousness we hunger and thirst for is actually the man Christ Jesus, who is the righteousness of God. I mean, Paul goes on to say in Philippians 3 here that he would consider all of his achievements, all of his self-improvements to be rubbish compared to knowing Christ. Again, thirsting for intimacy, knowing. And having been found in him, remember, you can't live more than 3 hours without good shelter. In him you live and breathe and have your being. You are hidden in Christ. So, found in him, not having a righteousness of your own derived by the law or that religious code of conduct, but the righteousness that is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. So, there it is. What are we really hungering and thirsting for? We're hungering and thirsting for the man Christ Jesus. I mean, he's the one who's going to satisfy us. But here's, I have sort of a confession here. I'm a project guy. Some of you can relate to that, you know, and I like to solve problems and I like to put my hands to things. I like to imagine something, scratch it out on a napkin while I'm having breakfast with a friend, and then go home and try it. I like to solve those problems. If something breaks, I like to like tackle it, you know, and get after it. And in the years past, I've discovered there's an internal drive that can push me through a lot of difficulty sometimes. It can fuel my drive. And this is the confession. In years past, that has been anger. It's almost like if I can get mad at this thing, I'll get it. Right? You hear yourself saying that kind of stuff, guys? So here's the fascinating thing about it. That pattern that was established, you know, it looks more like attacking a problem. And whether the problem was a broken car or a mountain or a person who threatened or opposed me, anything like that, I figured that I could make things right if I got angry. Again, how are we going to face our future? Attack the problems that arise? Or acknowledge our thirst and our hunger for what's right? So humility in the face of hardship, disagreement, disappointments, not anger, but humility in the face of all of those things, that's righteous living. There's more I could say about how fear is the root of so much of our anger. And I'll save that for another time. So we hunger and thirst for righteousness, and Jesus is the righteousness of God. Now listen to his words to us this morning out of the Gospel of John. And we'll close it with this. This is John 6. When the crowd saw Jesus wasn't there, nor his disciples, they got into the boats and they went across to Capernaum and they went looking for him. And when they arrived, they found him and they asked, "Teacher, how did you get here?" And Jesus replied, "The truth is, you want to be with me because I fed you." I'm not going to contradict myself here, people. But listen to what Jesus is really saying here about the things that we crave. You want to be with me because I fed you, not because you saw the miraculous sign. He had just fed the multitudes. But you shouldn't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking eternal life, that I, the Son of Man, can give you. For God the Father has sent me for that very purpose. And they replied, what does God want us to do then? And Jesus told them, this is what God wants of you. Believe in the one he has sent. And they replied, well, then you must show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. What are you going to do for us? After all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. And as the scripture says, Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, I assure you, Moses didn't give them bread from heaven. My Father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, give us that bread every day for our lives. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry again. And those who believe in me will never thirst. As a note, believe in, it's not believe about. I know there's a lake right across the road here. And I could tell you all about that lake. You can believe about that lake. But until you go into that lake, you actually won't believe into the lake. You know what I'm saying? Like, you won't really believe into Jesus until you allow yourself to be immersed in him. You can know all about him from a distance. You can even draw close and take a look. But the invitation is, those who believe into me, you will never thirst again. Is this spiritual renewal coming? I believe it is. I believe that there are going to be supernatural manifestations of God's glory in our lives. Yes. Yay. Let's go for that. Is hardship coming? It sure seems like that's a good possibility. Evil rising up against love. Trauma turning hearts of mankind into fearful, angry human beings. That's a possibility. So how do we respond to this future? Well, we listen to Jesus and we hunger and thirst for righteousness. So with that, I want to pray. There's so much about this morning, Lord, that we will not be able to quantify. And the words that I've just shared, God, about this desperation for you, that's really what it comes down to. And you would say that you give grace to the humble. And a broken heart and a contrite spirit you will never deny. So in our place of acknowledging our need for something outside of ourselves that is a gift from you, we just want to thank you that you receive us. We want to thank you that you receive us in whatever state that we're in. There are some that are hugely encouraged and have experienced victory in their life and are overcoming situations and scenarios. They have heard a word from you and they have put their hope and their faith in that, and they have endured hardship because of that. And I want to thank you for that grace. And even in our most victorious moments, God, we're still hungry and thirsty for you. And so, Father, I just want to ask now, would you help us interpret our cravings? Would you help us orient our hearts towards the real solutions? Would you illuminate just some things in our lives, Lord, where we have perhaps metaphorically gone for food when we needed to go for water? Would you give us the courage to change? Because it's in that courage that we're going to find real satisfaction, real fulfillment. And so I pray that the words that were shared here this morning would be like seeds that fall on good soil, take root and bear much fruit in the years to come. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you have any questions, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@mac.com.